The May primary election in Oregon is officially underway. Ballots began arriving in the mail over the weekend, and some voters have already marked them and sent them back. Today, we'll revisit one of the more hotly contested local measures in the May 20th election. It's in Josephine County, where voters will decide the fate of Measure 1759. It's a five-year levy for jail and youth services and detention. It's a proposed property tax increase to restore some public safety services in a county that cut them to the bone. The sheriff's office does not patrol around the clock or investigate major crimes, and the jail is not working at full capacity. Last week, we visited with the chief petitioner for the jail levy. Today, we hear from the no side in the persons of two people from the group We're for a Constitutional Government. Judy Ahrens, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
And John Taft, welcome to you.
Good morning.
Can one of us give us a little history of the group and how We're for a Constitutional Government formed up?
Go ahead, Judy.
I'll let John, if John's more familiar. I've been here for 3 years as far as Jim Rafferty heading up this organization. So if John wants to take the lead in that, that's fine.
All right. Thanks, John.
Well, quite simply, it's just a need for looking at the Constitution for regulating government. Government is not necessarily abiding by the Constitution, as many people are aware now. And so this is a group that feels that they need to put their input in on this subject, and this is what they're doing.
So was there ever any doubt that We're for a Constitutional Government would oppose this particular measure, or did it take a bit more scrutiny than that?
I think it was a consensus of opinion of the people within the group that this is something that should be addressed and opposed.
Is there any tax increase that you think the group would support?
I can't speak for the group itself. I can speak for myself, and I would say no, and that's part of what we're going to discuss today.
And Judy Ahrens, how about you? Any tax increase you personally would support?
No, absolutely not. And I'm just so in agreement with John, because we've seen so much abusiveness of the of what the county has, the monies that they have, and how they've shifted them around and what they use them for. And my goodness, remodeling their offices under our tax dollar, and the high salaries that the commissioners get, and it just the list goes on and on. Where it doesn't seem like it really. For the hardworking taxpayer, we don't see the money being used to what it's supposed to be used for.
All right. Is this ultimately a constitutional issue, John Taft? I mean, if so, how? How is this a constitutional issue on this particular ballot measure?
How is it constitutional? Well, I think it takes away the right of a free man to be a free man. A property tax is a tax that is compulsory. It forces you to pay. It is... The federal income tax is a graduated tax. Property tax does the same thing to everyone. It's across the board. For example, a poor man making $20,000 a year, and that's the average income of people in Josephine County, one person working, and a little over $30,000 for two people within a family working. But that money puts them in the poverty level. And by the way, 20% of the population in Josephine County is in the poverty level, according to the 28 to 2012 U.S. Census survey. And it's a situation where the people are unable to pay the property tax. And I think a big point about it is that the tax, as I say, it's across the board. Say you owe a $1,000 tax, then the amount of money you make, if you make $20,000, a $1,000 tax. But if you make $100,000, you're a public employee and with your salary and benefits, you're going to be paying about one-fifth of that, of your salary, of $200. So a $1,000 tax to the $20,000 man is $200 to the man that's making $100,000 a year.
Given that, then, I mean, would you favor something like a local income tax for measures like this instead of...
That is a possibility. Most businesses do not want that, because if there was a local income tax, then the people would go to Medford and shop. Medford companies would love that.
But I said income tax, not sales tax.
Okay. Income, a local income tax.
Well, that would be graduated, which is what you're citing as part of the
issue. Yes, that would be graduated. That would be something to consider. However, there's lots of other things to consider, too. The legislature in the last session, they didn't meet very long this year, but they were there, and this is not one of their major issues. They were not concerned about law enforcement and the problems in Josephine County, though they have talked about the governor coming into Josephine County and taking control and forcing the people to pay a property tax, but I don't see that happening.
An income tax was one of the possibilities listed as well in that legislation.
And some of the people, recently there were nine people debating over the commissioner's office. The local paper, the Daily Courier, had a forum. And of these nine, I understand that six of them were opposed to the property tax. And one of them, Jack Swift, he proposed that on the lottery income, Josephine County produces $9.6 million to the state on lottery, where it's distributed to in various ways. But he would like to propose, if he was in the legislature, to go for 55% of that for Josephine County, which would be over $5 million for the county, which would be a good start for the criminal justice system, and the money should be dedicated to that particular area.
So essentially taking or keeping more of the income to the lottery system within the county that it comes from.
That's correct. It should be done in Jackson County. Do you happen to know what Jackson County gets? I was curious.
Not off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
Judy Ahrens, I mean, is there any disagreement about the need for beefing up the public safety services in Josephine County? Is that
an
issue?
Well, you know, Jeffrey, you know, I think we all agree that, I don't know, beefing up, but that, you know, as far as safety, we have it. There's an organization that's been doing a lot of PR since for the sixth time, and they've been promoting this secure safety. They're mostly union people, mostly people that work for the county government, police officers, et cetera. And, of course, they've been really pushing this, and they've decided to use a real PR, and they've been successful as far as shortening the gap, as far as to get people to really be interested in the safety. And what I find very curious is that a lot of times, like with the Courier, when it comes time to the taxation or the levies again for the seventh time, that we see a lot of the crime and items on the front page just, you know, rise up. And then when the tax levy goes away, then all of a sudden you see more community affairs, things are going on in the fair, vegetable gardens, et cetera. So I just feel like it's a little ironical that just it's like the ebb and ebb. Things go up when it's close to the levy tax time, and then all of a sudden you don't see too much crime on the front page. So I'm really dubious of where what the thing is. What I've been trying to share with him and want to speak at the SOS is that let's find different ways that we can help the sheriff and with neighborhood watches and increase and really lower the crime, make it more of a moral society. How can we have less crime on the street than we have right now? So, and it's a math issue. You know, when you have people have more money in their pockets, they're able to support things out there for the sheriff's department, whatever. But like John's saying, we've seen a lot of abusiveness of money going in different directions. I don't know if you're familiar that the first 10% of the levy tax money would go for the ISF, and that's, you know, the Internal Services Fund. And that goes right in, you know, all this money goes into the county fund directly. So they can use it for salaries, they can use it for travel expenses, a variety. They have no limits on what they can do with that top 10%.
I have heard the ISF claim before, but I'm looking at the text of the ballot measure and see absolutely nothing in there about it.
Yeah, well, you won't see them there, of course, but this is where the money automatically goes. The 10% of the levy goes there, and as far as patrol, there's nothing in the levy, from what I understand, what I've read, and what I've been informed, that would go to the patrol. So, and that's a concern of the neighborhood.
And that is true. I mean, I talked to the chief petitioner last week at this time about the no patrols provision. He admits, yes, there is no money for patrol specifically in this measure. Mm-hmm. The hope being that if there's more money in the jail, that would release more people to be out there patrolling in the streets. And I'm guessing that's not enough of an incentive for you folks to change your position on this.
We just see the trend of what the commissioners are already doing with the misuse of money and abuse of the money. So, like I said, if we knew, like last time when they had the levy, they said the money may go here and may go there. Well, may is not a very good word using in ballots. So they have gone back to the drawing board, and they've made sure they didn't use the word may this time, because we made people very aware that may has no teeth to it.
Right. I remember that from last year when it was measure 1749, mm-hmm. and that was actually right. Including some money for patrols. We're talking to Judy Ahrens and John Taft at We're for a Constitutional Government, WA4CG. about their opposition to ballot measure 1759, which is a five-year levy for jail and youth services and detention in Josephine County. This is the con side. We heard the pro side a week ago. You can join this discussion on The Exchange anywhere in our listening area, 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, this is Jackson and Josephine Counties, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Going to take a call. John, I will have to put you on hold just because of an oddity with the phone lines this morning, but I will come back to you. You'll be able to hear the question as well. So let's go to Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Judy Ahrens and John Taft.
Yeah, right off the top, where does the Constitution come in on all of this stuff you're spouting? Can you name a specific article in the Constitution? Or are you just throwing that out because it sounds good? Secondly, what do you not understand about there ain't no such thing as a free lunch? Or do you like having muggers and thieves and drunk drivers loose in your neighborhood with no place to, dispose of them? Maybe for that. I don't know.
Well, I suspect not, but let's get a response here, Steve. Thanks for that. So, John Taft, back to you. The first one is the Constitution, and the second part is the no free lunch part.
And the Constitution. Well, you have a right to be a free man. A property tax is an awful way to go about obtaining funds to fund government. There's many other ways. We already discussed this early on. But the property tax is an unethical tax. It's like stealing. Let me put it this way. The property tax is as close to stealing as you can get without going to jail. And the no free lunch, that's true, but the property tax is not the means to burden the taxpayer with that. It's especially tough on low-income people, the people with homes that have low incomes that work minimum wage jobs, and many of the jobs in Josephine County are of this type. I have a little chart here of the number of employees in Josephine County. Rogue Community College, this is somewhere around 2009. I wasn't able to find within the last 5 years, but this gives you an idea. Rogue Community College, 919 people employed there. Three Rivers Hospital, 900. Grants Pass School District, 670. Three Rivers, 645. Walmart, 470. Josephine County, 450 people. And Fire Mountain Gems, 450. And Riverside Inn. And most of the other people employ 20, 30 people like that. So you see, the best jobs are government paid jobs, 1, 2, 3, 4. They're all top employers in Josephine County. And they have better salaries, they have better incomes, and than the people who are on the low end of the scale, as we said, $20,000 medium income, and the government considers that a poverty level.
I want to make sure we all understand the position on property taxes, though. I mean, they can certainly be painful. They can certainly be distasteful to a lot of people. You're saying they're unethical. They're not unconstitutional, though. Are you saying that?
Apparently, they are not unconstitutional because they do exist. If they are unconstitutional, nobody does anything about it. But just the concept of the property tax is basically what I'm after. It's an unjust way to obtain funds to pay for county government. And I think everyone should be aware of how the property tax works. And it's in 3 years, your home can be confiscated for the tax that if you don't pay it. Mm-hmm. It charges usury rates at 16%. If you are able to redeem your home during the time it's gone into foreclosure, there's an additional 5% on it. It's definitely not a friendly tax to the people who have homes.
All right. I noticed some of that verbiage in the radio ads, and I believe that's your voice narrating them as well. The point about your home could be seized after 3 years, I mean, these are things that happen with all property taxes. It's not just this levy, right?
No, it happens with all homes. It's even faster with businesses. As soon as you don't pay, then then they become due, and when they become due, your property can be seized in the business.
All right, let us take another call. So you go back on hold, John Taft. Sorry about that. And let's take a call from Bill in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to John Taft and Judy Ahrens about the Josephine County Jail Levy, 1759.
Yeah, good. Thank you for taking my call. This gentleman and lady have a policy issue about property taxes. They don't have a constitutional issue. People like to clothe their arguments, and in the Constitution, it's kind of like clothing yourself in the flag. A lot of people like to do it, and sounds good, but you really don't have any kind of constitutional problem. You've got a policy problem. You'd like to probably not fund these services, or if you do fund it, you want to fund them through some other way. Personally, I'd like to see a sales tax, let's get off the constitutional thing because it's not a constitutional issue, and argue policy, which is what you're trying to do anyhow.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. I want to take this back to John and Judy. John, we had said something here before about sales taxes, which Bill just brought up. Is that anywhere in the scope of what We're for Constitutional Government considers as potentially doable or even desirable?
I can't speak for the group itself, just myself. That's something that could be considered, yes.
All right. Let us take another call here. Once again, on hold for John Taft. And here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Property taxes are regressive. There's no question about that. And everyone pays a property tax, whether the individual is renting or whether the individual is owning a home, because the landlord allocates the expense of the property tax to each of the individual renters. So it is a regressive tax. A person making a small amount of money pays a larger percentage of their income to that tax than a wealthy person. He's absolutely right about that. Unfortunately, a sales tax is equally regressive. We do have to fund county government. We do have to fund state government. I personally voted against this, not so much because the tax was regressive or not. I am a property owner over here. I voted against this because I did not see adequate deliverables in terms of how the money would be spent, and that is my constitutional right to vote against something along those lines until I'm satisfied it's going to serve the public need.
Were you looking for deliverables like more sheriff's patrols or something like that?
I was looking for deliverables in terms of either more sheriff's patrols or adequate programs for the jail itself. All they're basically doing here is taking money that is going to the jail, creating a situation where the money is going to pay for the jail at its current levels, and the money that has been allocated to that operation is going to be put into more sheriff's patrols. So it's effectively a shell game. You have no guarantee that as the economic crisis continues here in Josephine County, that this will have any benefit whatsoever. I see no valid deliverables. Pat's a good friend, and I've told him this over breakfast.
All right, Pat Fahey was the chief petitioner in here last week with us. Thanks for the call, Paul. Appreciate it. Responses from Judy or John?
Well, yeah, Jeffrey, if I could just mention, even on the previous caller when he said there's no free lunch, Here's the problem I have with a lot of these levy taxes that pop up and they get on a ballot, is that my problem, and I go before the commissioners a lot in sharing my concerns or things, and it's just that there's not enough dialogue. It seems like these things get on, and we don't have a dialogue. Are there any alternatives into having a tax? It seems like in all government bureaucracies, whether it's at the local level, the city, the state level, they do. It's almost like taking the shortcut. Let's just tax everybody. That'll handle that, and we can move on to the next item. Instead of saying where we've had citizens, one particular citizen had some great ideas. 2 years ago, we're going to have a crash here. Here's my suggestions. He presented the proposal. I thought it was so great. I gave it to KJO. KJO read it over the radio station because they thought it was a pretty good idea. Not one bit of dialogue ever proceeded after that with that one citizen coming twice before the commissioners. So, see, we have a problem in even people, elected officials, even listening to what are the alternatives. And that's where I have a problem with them. Let's just pass a tax and be done with it. It's a problem with me.
What was the idea that you thought was so great?
Well, the idea that he thought and Carl Wilson from Cajo thought was so great, I wish I had in front of me. I was trying to look for him.
He's a former state rep, too.
Just on my recollection is that he thought we could shorten the days. We could cut, because the employees, public employees make probably three times the salary than the average citizen. So we could cut the salaries maybe 5 or 10%. Everybody could take a hit, not just the citizens, but everybody. We could leave the people intact. We wouldn't have to just lay them off. We could actually leave them intact. So he said just cutting departments like 4 days instead of having them work 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
He had some ideas that were doable. They were workable. And not one person decided on that, commissioners, to even do any dialogue. That's a problem, I feel like, in our government in general.
When we look at the amount, we haven't talked dollars and cents in this thing specifically yet. So $1.19 per $1,000 assessed value for the property. So if your property is worth $200,000, that's another $238 a year, or not quite $20 a month. John Taft, if you own a piece of property worth $200,000, is it impossible to find another $20 a month?
Well, we go back to the principle of the thing, but sure, you could find another $20, but you're under compulsion to do that, and I don't like that. The gentleman before mentioned a regressive tax, and yes, it is a regressive tax, but he didn't object to the tax in itself. He was willing to pay it. And the problem with the property tax is compared to a consumption tax, a tax out there, the sales tax and various items, is that you have choice. If you don't want to pay it, you don't have to. And nobody's going to come and take your home like they will with the property tax. The property tax is very unforgiving. There was a story on Drudge the
other
day.
I want to point out again, take your home if the property tax goes unpaid for 3 years or more, and it's a long
process.
Yes,
beyond 3 years. It can be confiscated. Your home will be taken. The county either puts it into the inventory or they put it up on the auction block there in the courthouse.
All right, so the opposition quite clear here. Measure 1759 is the 5-year levy for jail and youth services and detention. John Taft and Judy Ahrens with the group We're for Constitutional Government. We're out of time. Thank you both so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much, Jeffrey.
You bet.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
That'll do it for this hour of The Exchange. Coming up in hour number two, The Promise of a Pencil, author Adam Braun will join us.